Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz: how many times is the word an'am mentioned in Surah Al-An'am? So please go ahead and answer below bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And a reminder to please donate to Yaqeen inshaAllah ta'ala amongst the many important efforts that are out there. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala to download the Quran 30 for 30 ebook and follow along with each juz bi'idhnillah. We are here, of course, with Sheikh Abdullah Adua as always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ustada Zainab Ansari, we're very blessed to have you here. Welcome to Yaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and elevate you.
Alhamdulillah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Allahi barak fiki. And Ustada Zainab, of course, with the wonderful things that she does with Yaqeen and of course, many other things, alhamdulillah, at Taysir Seminary, which is really a gem of a place, alhamdulillah. And we're blessed. We have Qalam right here in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we obviously had Sheikh Abdul Nasir Mufti Kamani and multiple folks from Qalam that are part of this 30 for 30. And we've had the Miftah folks, and Taysir is out there in Tennessee. What can you tell us about Taysir in Tennessee?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, again, thank you for having me. So, you know, people are really surprised to hear that we have a seminary in Knoxville. They often think, okay, you must be talking about Memphis or Nashville. Okay. So the fact that we have the seminary in East Tennessee, I think, is kind of remarkable and interesting to a lot of people.
Alhamdulillah,
I just think that Taysir means it comes from ease. And one of the things that we hope to do is make it easy for people to come and study. And for the last 10 years, alhamdulillah, I've been happy to be a part of that process.
10 years, mashallah. 10 years, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and accept them.
Ameen.
Bless the students there as well. Allahumma ameen. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll go ahead and we'll get started. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. So it's a very interesting ayah that I'm going to start with today. You know, in the last juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He touches you with harm, then none can undo that harm except for Him. And if He touches you with a blessing, then He is surely most capable of all things. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He reigns supreme over His creation, and He is the all-wise and all-aware. And one of the things that people often will question about the issue of qadar is how come these people have gone astray and how come these people have been saved? And is this wisdom that this group of people goes this way and this group of people goes that way? Why was this nation saved and this nation destroyed? And so on and so forth when it comes to the issue of predestination, right? And this is obviously a huge theme of the Ramadan series. And stay tuned, by the way, for episode 10, I believe. Which is probably, subhanAllah, in my opinion, the most important episode of the Ramadan series, where a person even asks, am I really a Muslim? Did I choose to be a Muslim, or am I really a Muslim? Is it just something that I inherited from my parents, especially for those who were born into Muslim families? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 111 in Surah Al-An'am, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And even if we were to send them the angels. So put yourself in a situation where, you know, you're making every excuse to disbelieve. Allah's saying, even if we sent them the angels, so if angels appeared before you, right, in the form of angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى, the dead were brought back to speak to them. So like, just think of yourself sitting in a room, the angels are in front of you and speaking to you. The dead are brought back to speak to you. وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا. And every sign that they asked you for, we brought it forth in front of them. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ for the most ridiculous of things. If we were to give them every single sign that they wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. They would not be able to believe unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed. Meaning, they still would have rejected you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This isn't about a lack of signs. This isn't about a lack of opportunity, a lack of chances for them. Now, of course, by the way, there are people who will have an excuse on the Day of Judgment. And they are exceptions, right? In terms of either the message not reaching them properly or them not having the faculties, wasa'il al-ma'arif, the ways to be able to grasp that message. There are people that are excused, but this is a group of people. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do, right? And Allah is saying, even if everything they asked you for was presented to them, they would not be able to believe. They still would disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. Rather, most of them remain ignorant. The power of this is the hikmah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in allowing who He allows to believe, and then the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hakim, al-khabir, as He mentions in the previous juz, and in the same surah, in fact, but earlier in the surah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what is in actually, you know, what is actually in a person's heart. And so if someone says, but that person's a really good person, Allah knows that better than you. If that's true, Allah knows that better than you. But that person has this excuse. Allah would know that excuse better than you. You don't get to make that decision based upon your limited knowledge. And so just as you sort of come to a place of contentment and peace, that I don't know better, right? That I'm only judging by the apparent, you also submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghaib, the unseen. And the unseen is what is in people's hearts. And why is it that this person was not guided? Why is it that this person was guided? Why is it this group of people? Why is it that group of people? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-hakim al-khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise and the most aware. And also, this is comfort to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it's not a deficiency within your da'wah. That at some point, you have to also trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the output, even if your output seems to be the best output possible based upon your best effort. At some point, their hearts have to be willing to receive. And so this is important for us when we're talking about doing da'wah and calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to do our absolute best. But know that at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses to guide or to misguide. And that is based upon, once again, what Allah knows of the hearts of those people. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Those that say our hearts are unreceptive to it, well, the hearts will be unreceptive to it, as we spoke about in just two. And those who are open and willing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that awareness grasp even signs that are far less spectacular than the angel showing up in front of you or the dead coming back to life to speak to you. That sincerity and that perception will go together, and that person will perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with relative ease, and guidance will hence be facilitated for them by the will of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the guided. Allahumma ameen. Sheikh Abdullah, tafadhal.
Hayakum Allah, Sheikh. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Again, speaking about guidance and understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-aleem al-khabir al-hakim, that He is the all-knowing, the all-wise, and He is well aware and well acquainted of every single minute thing of what we do, from that knowing what's in the heart of the individual. And the system that He has given us, the framework, as was mentioned before, is the Sharia, which is the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to nourish the fitrah. So that's where even the word Sharia comes from, being a body of water that serves as a nourishing element for our souls. So when one voluntarily struggles, and I use these two words intentionally, voluntarily struggles to nourish their souls, nourish their fitrah, their carnal self with the deen of Islam, this is the Surat al-Mustaqim. And that's what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we recite in Surat al-Fatiha, the first chapter, in our obligatory prayers and optional prayers, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. I want you to journey with me in the chapter of Al-An'am, verse number 153. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to list out certain things that were impermissible for them to indulge upon, to practice, to believe that is allowed in Islam, and to believe that is the right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon concluding upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concludes by saying, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُهُ. This is a portion of the verse where he says, and say, this is my way, or this is my way, excuse me, this is my way, that which is straight, so follow it. فَاتَّبِعُهُ. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what was mentioned before, all of these things is my straight path. Now that you have knowledge of what it is, or as a result, with that knowledge, follow it. And it's fi'lun amr. It is an imperative verb. It is a command verb. But this command is showing that, look, if we want guidance, this is what we will do. We will avoid the previous things. Basically, we will follow that sirat. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something very eloquent here. He says here, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِ. And do not follow the other ways. Notice he mentions sirat is one. But then he mentions subul, which is plural, meaning that there are many ways to be misguided. There are many ways to fall into some pathways that will take you away from that straight truth, that straight path, the truth of Islam generally. And in our moral and ethical code, Islam even has that, and it preserves it and it defends it even. It is important for us to try our best to follow that sirat and to recognize the subul. to follow that straight path and to recognize those pathways that will try their best to take us off course. People, places, and things, whether it's sometimes, subhanAllah, maybe family members, it may be friends, it may be things online that you are watching on television, on your phone. You know, they say a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. When you're on these devices and you're watching all of these things, it can take you away from your ultimate purpose. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying here, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. It would scatter you from the path. So do not follow the other paths, lest they scatter you from this one path. Distraction. Always knowing what is a distraction, distinguishing it in order to dominate it, in order to be able to know that this is a distraction. It's taking me away from my purpose. And in this beautiful month of Ramadan, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to voluntarily deprive yourself for spiritual conditioning. The last 10 days of Ramadan is literally to stay away from distractions, to where you are stationary in the masjid. The 10 days. And then the last day, Laylatul Qadr, which is better than a thousand months. May Allah make us of those that approach this night in worship and in full undivided attention. This is very, very important, because directing our worship in our actions is that which is primary for us as Muslims, and to focus on that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is what he has enjoined you upon so that you may beware. This is what he has enjoined you upon. وَصَّاكُمْ وَصِيَّ. This is what he has enjoined you, admonished you, advised you upon. Perhaps with that advice, with that reminder, you will be of those that have taqwa. You will be of those that are mindful. You will be of those that when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you think about the straight path. You think about the moments that you made the right decisions. Mm-hmm. Because you remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why ذِكْر بِاللِّسَانِ وَبِالْجَوَارِحِ وَبِالْقَلْبِ, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart, remembering his beautiful names and attributes, mentioning it after the salah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Anytime in your life, saying astaghfirullah, mentioning his names, and with your limbs by praying. This is why prayer is one of the best actions that a Muslim can perform, because it's all three of them at the same time. And that is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that is the straight path, being the deen of Islam, the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that nourish our souls with what he has given us to make us the best in this life, to where we will be with him in the next.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. The ayah that I want to reflect upon is also in Al-An'am, and this is ayah 144. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. So in 6144, and I love this ayah, Allah Ta'ala is revealing something to us about the nature of divine guidance. And I'm really happy that we're having this reflection and this conversation, because just the other day, a student was asking me, how do I kind of discern that moment and predict who will be guided and who won't be guided? And I said, this is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the ayah, God reveals to us that whomsoever Allah ta'ala desires to guide that person, Allah will open, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, Allah ta'ala will expand that person's heart or chest for Islam. And whomsoever Allah wishes to misguide, Allah will make that person's chest constricted, tight, such that it's like that person is they have a sense of not really being able to sort of catch their breath, i.e. they're like kind of climbing to an elevation, and it's hard, it's difficult, it's constricted for them. And then Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, in that way Allah Ta'ala actually disgraces those who do not believe. So what the ayah is presenting to us is a very powerful contrast. And this is a contrast between the person of faith that feels a sense of being settled in our faith. And this is the idea of a contentment that we feel. In other words, we are content but not complacent. There's a serenity the person of faith feels. We are peaceful, but not placid. So what's happening here is that our himma, our spiritual aspiration, for guidance, for hidayah, is connecting to something deep inside of us. It's not just abstract. It's not something that's just kind of like intellectual, but it's very real. So when Allah Ta'ala gives us that analogy of the person that their heart is expanded to Islam and the other person that Allah has chosen misguidance for that person and their chest becomes tight and constricted and narrow, what we're understanding here is that with the former, with that first person that's being guided, there's a sense of being able to breathe deeply of this faith. And I was reminded of the hadith in the Arba'in Nawawiyya, hadith number 36, I believe, when the Prophet says, peace be upon him, من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. This idea of being able to breathe, the idea that when we give someone some type of relief, i.e. we grant to the believer some type of relief from a burden in this world, Allah Ta'ala releases from us some of the anxieties of the Day of Judgment. So the ayah is telling us that hidayah is this sensation of being able to kind of come up for air and to be kind of released from that sort of that constriction, that tightness and so on. You know, think about the sense of relief, for example, when basically a burden is lifted, say when someone comes out of a debt and so on. And what's really very powerful about this ayah is that Allah Ta'ala is telling us that that disbelief, no matter how someone might think that disbelief in our culture is kind of posited as a form of free thinking, that in reality it's very narrow. It's so constricted that that person cannot kind of see beyond their immediate desires. And to the ayah that was, and to the ayah that Sheikh Omar was reflecting upon, there's this category of people that are just so intransigent that even if the angels are brought before them, they are still not going to believe. Why? Because they are not imbued with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to that that definition, there is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam where he talks about perception. And we're talking about perception right now, understanding, conviction. And the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, beware of ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, fa'innahu yandur bi nur Allah. So beware of the firasa, the insight, intuition of the believer, because for verily the believer sees by the light of Allah. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, read from Al-Hijr, verse 75, inna fi dhalika la'ayat al-mutawassimin, verily in that are signs for those people of discernment. Last but not least, Ibn al-Qayyim, in commenting on this hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, identifies the believer as this person of clarity. Why? Because they've been guided. So they have this light that Allah casts into their heart by which the believer distinguishes between truth and falsehood, that which is advantageous and disadvantageous, and distinguishes between the person who tells the truth and the person who is the liar. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always guide us, to not leave us ever bereft of divine guidance. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
Allah ybarak fiki, Ustaz Zainab. SubhanAllah, one thing that I caught between the two of you, there's the input of guidance and the output of guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our way, then we will guide them to our paths. And so there's the guidance that comes due to the strive. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about when you mentioned very beautifully, like dhikr, overwhelming the heart, the tongue, the limbs. أَفَمَنْ SubhanAllah, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Mulk, the one who يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Like who, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us this imagery, right, of someone that's walking forth on صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, going forth, striving, as being someone with great clarity versus someone who's tumbling, stumbling upon, you know, complete worthlessness, right, or things that do not actually have a foundation to them. So there's the guidance that activates, and then there is the activated guidance, right? It's kind of before and after. Mm. Similar to what Allah Azza wa Jalla says about Dawood alayhi salam, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Work, O family of David, acts of gratitude. That there is a shukr bil qalb, wa bil lisan, wa bil jawarih, right? The gratitude of the heart, the gratitude of the tongue, and the gratitude of the deeds. And I think that's very important because you can't turn Islam into mere concept and creed. You just can't. Right, it has a foundation of clarity, of creed, But there's a way to get there, and there's something that comes out of that. And of course, the ayat that I was talking about, a person who does not want that clarity and does not intend to make any effort to gain that clarity will not gain that clarity no matter what signs are put in front of them.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And you know, that's hard to swallow at times.
Yes.
Because, it's, I mean, let's be honest, some of us have relatives that are Muslim and are not, quote unquote, practicing. They're not making the effort, and Allah knows. Some of us have, you know, friends that are dear to us, and we could swear that they're going to accept, but then they don't. And sometimes it's hard to swallow, like, okay, Allah knows something in their heart that I don't know. I mean, I know this person, right? I've grown up with this person. Yani, you accept the fact that Allah knows, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that Allah knows and you do not. Again, the whole concept of being uncertain and being content with being uncertain with that reality of something that you do not know. And in reality, and when you think about it, that is a pure manifestation of lordship. And when you think about it, it's like you have a direction to go. Shakirun wa kafura. You have a direction to go. You know what? I don't know, and I'm okay with that. Rather, ufawwidu amri ila Allah. Like, I trust that Allah knows, and I don't. And you know what? On top of that, I trust that if I act in accordance to His law that He set, and how to deal with this, and how to deal with that person, I trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep me content, even psychologically, because it may be someone that you love dearly, and they may have passed away, and you don't know if they've accepted Islam. I mean, as I mentioned before, I know, you know, me mentioning the shahada in my sister's ear upon her taking her last breath, I don't know if she's taken it. Having to be content with that, dying of cancer, 9 years younger than me, I have to be content with the fact that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but I trust that He is al-adil, that He's going to make the right decision when that time comes. And I'm going to do my best to follow the system that He has given me internally and then externally by when I pray and things of that nature. So, you know, subhanAllah, the sharh of the sadr, you know, opening the heart is something, the same sharh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam nashrah laka sadr, when speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars mentioned the sharh is like the butcher, the one that opens the meat. It's like opening the chest to where it accepts the message easily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that accept His guidance that He puts in front of us and allow us to follow it in the best of ways.
You know, my teacher in Damascus, one of the pieces of advice that I really remember, and this was decades ago, honestly, time has really flown by, but may Allah preserve her. Amen. You know, she said, I remember we were sitting in someone's apartment, you know, the girls were sitting on the floor, she's on the sofa, and she's speaking about light and guidance and clarity. And I remember this like it was yesterday. She said, the mu'min, the believer, the mu'mina, is a person of clarity. And that really stayed with me all these years, that the idea that someone that that is a believer, the idea that someone that belongs to this faith community of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, that we don't really have license to kind of be like wandering around aimlessly. Like, we have to have purpose. We have to have this direction. That, and this is one of the things I tell my students, that there's so much that you have to offer to your friends, to the entire world, when you see that there are countless people out there who have really no sense of where they're going, why they were created, what they want out of life. And to be a community that's the recipient of this guidance that is unaltered, right, from the time that was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you know, there's actually a commentary, by the way, on this ayah. The Sahaba themselves asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about the ayah, and what is this idea of the sharh of the sadr, the opening the heart to Islam, what does it mean? So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that it's Allah Ta'ala putting a light in the heart of the believer, through which the believer, that the heart opens up for perception, for understanding and acceptance of truth. And the Sahaba then went on to say, is there a sign of this that we can perceive in a person? And the Prophet said, yes, alayhi salatu wasalam. The sign of that is that the akhirah and its blessings become the object of all that person's desires. Isn't that amazing?
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. So there's a difference. You know, subhanAllah, it's profound, because everyone wants to know, but what do you want to know? And being guided to I don't know is actually one of the greatest forms of guidance. Like, and I'm content with not knowing, you know? So like, guidance is not knowing all the answers. Guidance is knowing the one who knows all the answers. And being so content with that, that all of these primary causes of doubt for people become secondary issues of iman, you know? Yaqeen, khalas, it's faith and certainty, I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm happy with that. Like, I trust Allah with that person. I'm not going to be arham, more merciful, or more just, or more discerning, or more knowledgeable, or more aware than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And I'm going to focus on myself and making sure that I'm doing the best that I can to strive, to properly ponder, to gain clarity, and through clarity to gain contentment, and through contentment to gain a path forward, mm-hmm. and just keep on going and depositing in that over and over and over again. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me, and hopefully at that point we're in the best of our states. You know, so that's true guidance, right? And that's what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about and commenting on the sharh, on that opening of the heart. Like, I'm content to that. It's not that I've learned a new piece of information. It's that my heart has become at ease now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-alimul khabir. SubhanAllah. Any last thoughts?
Well, I appreciate the point about sort of ambiguity in the sense of, you know, the ayah in Ali Imran where Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلْبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. You know, that those in whose heart is kind of a deviation, they go after sort of, they want the interpretation of that part of the Qur'an that maybe might be a little bit more ambiguous or metaphorical. So, but, you know, I remember that ayah in the sense of, there are questions that we're just not supposed to that we cannot answer inherently as human beings. And that's the beautiful thing about Hidayah, because it's telling us that this is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot impose your timeline upon a person's guidance. This is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He guides whom He wills and He lets others to go astray. And this is from His knowledge, from His justice subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to demand why this person and not that person, it's actually teaching us something about being kind of comfortable with the fact that only Allah Ta'ala knows what's in the innermost recesses of the heart, and only Allah Ta'ala knows those subtleties. Mm-hmm. So just reminded at that point.
The subtleties. Inshallah Ta'ala with that. Jazakumullah khairan, Ustaz Zainab, for the wonderful input. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Abdullah, as always. And to all of our viewers, I hope inshallah ta'ala you're benefiting, reflecting, talking to each other about the Qur'an, bidnillahi ta'ala, taking a lot of notes. And we'll look forward to seeing you inshallah ta'ala again tomorrow. Please remember to donate to Yaqeen, to download the Qur'an, 30 for 30 book inshallah ta'ala, and follow along. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.